What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back, folks. Whenever a leader of a political subdivision ultimately ends up getting indicted, whether it's the state or the Fed, the landscape kind of changes. A lot changes. The culture, the attitude of that area changes. Here to talk to us about it is Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Ron, your thoughts about my opening statement. What changes?
Well, you know, anytime there is a possibility that a public official may have to go to prison, it changes how people see that public official. And it doesn't necessarily mean the politics change so much. We saw Donald Trump, for example, indicted four separate times, and it had, you know, received enormous press coverage. But every time he was indicted, he actually improved his standing among Republican primary voters for president. And so it didn't necessarily change where things were going into that, but it certainly changed attitudes about everything. We saw that when Edwin Edwards, when he was governor, I believe in his third term, was indicted and was not convicted. And of course that, you know, the same kind of thing. People look at the official differently because they don't know where they're going to end up. And that was the case there, although he continued to be governor. And he came back and was elected to a fourth term after that. So sometimes the impact on the elected officials is not as great as you might think. But I think you make a good case that it does change the situation. And it changes how people look at that politician, and it affects how people govern after that. And there was a headline in the newspaper the other day saying Mayor Cantrell has become the lamest of lame ducks, and I think that's correct. You know, in the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 months of anybody's term, they do become a lame duck. And if they're indicted on top of that, it makes it even worse.
One would have to admit, though, in the case of both, you make good points, in the case of both Donald Trump and Edwin Edwards, two political figures almost bigger than life, right?
Absolutely. And you know, both of them did a lot, you know, and they had, they were very active over long periods of time. And they were extremely well known. In the case of the mayor here, you know, for a long time she polled very well. You know, she was polling, her positive ratings were over 70%, and they went into the 60s, then they went into the 40s, and then they went into the 30s. And for the last year or so, they've been in the 20s. So her public standing and political standing has over time weakened, and so there wasn't a whole lot left there, and of course something like this makes it very difficult for her to do anything or get much accomplished, because she has her you know, the time she's spending is going to have to be spent defending herself as well as what she's doing as mayor. And of course we've got an election going on and a new mayor coming up. And so, you know, it's, you know, effectively she sort of checked out unless there's some big issue or something that emerges that she can jump on or champion. So that's really kind of it. And you know, the people of the city get a chance to vote in a couple of months. They don't get to vote on her because she's not running for anything. But, you know, the politicians in the city are all asking one another, you know, how will this affect the mayor's race and the council races? And will it increase turnout? Will it help one particular candidate over another? Of course, we don't know that yet, because when you look at polling, you know, isn't going to show the true effects of something like this for a while. It's going to take a while for those effects to be pollable, but they all go into the public mind and affect how the public ultimately is going to look at this.
On the text line this morning, Ron, most people are asking why the political power base, so to speak, all of the elected officials are not asking for her resignation. They feel like, you know, we've had people saying we feel like we've been abused. Obviously, the indictment kind of brands the abuse. Why is no one asking for the resignation?
I think the answer is because she's leaving office in January, no matter what. And so people feel like that, you know, that's going to be coming around the block pretty quickly. You elect a new mayor in October or November. The attention is going to turn to that. The new mayor is going to need some time for a transition. So I think a lot of people feel like it just may not make a whole lot of difference one way or another. And of course, you know, there's always the possibility that she could resign. Maybe there's some kind of a plea deal that could be made. I have no idea whether something like that is possible. I'm not on the inside of any of this, so I just don't know. But sometimes that does happen in these political situations. So we really don't know. But you're right. There isn't anybody calling for her resignation. And under the law, she doesn't have to resign. You know, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And now look, if she was at the beginning of her second term instead of the end, it probably would be a different story.
Yeah. Long list of individuals, right, that have been indicted and convicted, and some indicted and found innocent throughout the metro area. There was a piece by Ben Myers in NOLA.com the other day listing them. A lot of folks are saying that they believe that this is possibly racially motivated. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I have no reason to believe that it is. I mean, let's hope something like that isn't racially motivated. I mean, justice should be equal, and it should apply to everybody the same way. So let's hope that's the case. And I don't know that there's any reason to think that. The U.S. attorney had been looking at this case for a long time. They collected a lot of information, a lot of facts, a lot of evidence, and they made a decision on it, and that's where it stands.
What are you hearing in the political circles about this happenstance? You know, a lot of people asked me over the weekend. I said, well, everyone's kind of been waiting for a year now for this hammer to drop. In fact, you know, more people than not are saying, not a question of if, but when, or have been surprised by the delay.
Well, I think that is true. There's been rumors galore for a long time about this happening. And there's been news stories about, you know, certain things happening with the investigation. I know it had gotten to the point that every Thursday and Friday afternoon, people were saying, oh, it's going to finally happen. It's going to finally happen. And then it never did. So the actual indictment, I think, caught some people off guard because they were expecting it a week or two before, and it didn't happen. So I do think it was expected by a lot of people, and wasn't any major surprise. But on the other hand, I think that there was a sense on the part of a lot of political people that it wouldn't happen. If it did happen, it wouldn't happen while she was still in office. And I think a lot of people came to the conclusion, well, you know, if it hasn't happened already, it's probably not going to happen. So there's been an awful lot of speculation. And of course, the speculation, as always, proves pretty much irrelevant. And these prosecutors move when they want to, and that's what they came up with.
Not that I want to engage in conjecture, but, you know, I had a conversation this morning with someone, and the question was asked of me, Newell, if she announced that she was going on another one of these climate conference trips, what do you think would happen? I was like, I think people would go crazy if she did. But it wouldn't surprise me. To be quite honest with you,
who knows? I mean, you know, she is now in a legal situation. There's going to have to be an arraignment, and there are certain rules, of course, that apply. And I don't know whether her ability to travel will be limited or not. But who knows what will happen? But I do think the people of the city got tired of all of these trips that didn't seem to make much difference. It didn't seem that much came out of it, out of these trips. It wasn't like you were going to some specific thing to do something specific, and then you come back with a benefit for the city. So I think all of that has hurt her over time. And as you said, a lot of people wouldn't be surprised if she did that. I'm not saying she would or whatever, but you know, that's where it is.
Yeah. Final thoughts, Ron?
Well, you know, it's the beginning of a new chapter for her. Nobody wants to see anybody have to go through that process, but
no, you're right.
But on the other side of the coin, there was a lot there that was done wrong. I mean, it's up to a jury to figure out whether what was done was just wrong, whether it was criminal, but there clearly were things that were wrong, and I do think it will enhance the issue of political corruption in this particular campaign for mayor and for the city council and for all the races, for that matter, because it puts political corruption sort of back on the map as a current issue.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, I think questions will certainly be asked. Let me pivot real quick, if you don't mind. Recent poll, I think it was released either yesterday or this morning. Helena Moreno still holds on at 47%. Royce DuPlessis has jumped in front of Oliver Thomas by 2 points. Your thoughts?
Well, I conducted that poll for WWL-TV.
Yes.
And basically, what it shows is that over the last few weeks, Moreno's vote and Thomas's vote has stayed just about the same. And DuPlessis was the one candidate who moved up. Now, he moved up from third place to second place. He was 2 points behind Thomas a few weeks ago. Now he's a couple of points ahead of Thomas. And I do think his movement reflected the getting out of the race of Judge Arthur Hunter and Hunter's endorsement of him. I do think, you know, we talk about endorsements. Sometimes they have more effect than others. I think Hunter's endorsement of DuPlessis was effective. I think it was helpful for DuPlessis, and it's put him in second place. You know, he's just got in this race, close to less than 2 months, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was. And he's now overtaken the second place runner and is in second place. So that's, you know, that's certainly progress. But this campaign has yet to really get going. And even though voters are picking candidates, most of the voters, over 80%, pretty much know who they want to vote for. But on the other side of the coin, it's there's a lot that has to happen. There's going to be televised debates coming up. They still haven't really started to attack one another to the extent that you know they will between now and election day. And so we don't know any of that, what's happening. But as it stands now, Moreno is by far the strongest candidate. She's number one in vote. She has a strong, favorable rating. And the other candidates have a long way to go to catch her. Now they feel that if either Duplessis or Thomas gets in the runoff with her, it's a new race and maybe something can happen. But it's an interesting contest, and I think the people in the city are getting increasingly interested in it. So we'll see what that means.
You know, these races that end up in a second primary with one candidate at 47, 48, or 49, and another one in the 20, you know, in some other number, they don't typically bode well for the underdog, right? I mean, there've been some anomaly outcomes along those lines, but what's been interesting to me, and I wonder whether or not you anticipated whether or not there would be a 1 or 2 point loss of the base of Helena Moreno at 47 with the margin of error. She could have a majority of the vote as she sits there right now.
Yes, that's certainly possible, and we don't fully know who's going to vote. The turnout in New Orleans citywide elections have been very low in recent elections, and if the turnout jumps up, it can have a big effect on which one of these candidates has movement at the end. But it's very difficult to poll when somebody is right under 50. It's very difficult to predict, I should say. It's easy to poll it, but it's very difficult to predict whether or not they will get that extra 3 points. I mean, you know, there's essentially 19 points that's persuadable right now. And if she picks up 3 from there, she would have her 50. But we don't know if she loses some, and we don't know what the other candidates do if they can take points off of her.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting race for sure, and interesting to see how this indictment and I don't know how proactive the mayor is going to be in the coming months in much of anything as well. As always, Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and have a great week.
Thank you.
We will be right back, folks, and we'll visit with Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. We'll get his thoughts about the Trump-Putin-Alaskan summit and what is actually going on today in Washington, D.C., as a long list of individuals are arriving, to include French President Emmanuel Macron, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, Finnish President Alexander Stubb, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.